Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
No man ever spoke like this man. John chapter 7, verse 46. Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John. John is all about convincing men and women of the deity of Christ so that they will have eternal life through his name and through his teaching. In John chapter 7, we come to a point in Jesus' life where he himself is convicted and convinces his disciples that the things he teaches he did not come up with on his own, but these things are from the Father who sent him. In John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, "If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak on my own authority." If people want to please God, they have to realize that the words of Christ, the words of men and women who were inspired to pen the pages of the Bible, the writings of David and Moses, these weren't their ideas. These were things from God with authority from heaven, and if we're going to please the Father, we've got to accept the Bible as the will of God and the teaching of Jesus as the teaching of God himself. Jesus wanted the Jews to realize this because they may have seen Jesus as a prophet, as a teacher. They may have called him rabbi, but did they realize his words were the very word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do we also today realize that when we open the pages of the Bible, that we're not reading the thoughts or the opinions of men, but we're reading the very Word of God? Here's how Paul said it. "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you, these are the commandments of God." They weren't Paul's ideas. They weren't Paul's opinions. It wasn't the way Mark felt or Matthew felt or Luke felt or Peter felt. These are the very words of God himself channeled through human servants, inspired men. You see, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 160, "The entirety of your word is truth." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so if we're going to please God, we've got to accept the Bible as the final word from God, and we've got to do what it says. If anyone wants to do his will, notice what Jesus said. It's not just enough to hear, not just enough to accept the facts. You've got to be willing to do God's Word in your life. Do you remember what James said in James 1, verse 22? "We're to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Blessed are those who are doers of the Word." Jesus made it abundantly clear throughout his ministry that God wasn't pleased with those who just heard the Word, but those who did it. Jesus said it's not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You remember that refrain in the book of Revelation occurring in chapters 2 and 3? "To him that has ears to hear, let him hear." What's Jesus trying to say? You've got ears. They've been given for the purpose of hearing. Now go out and do what I've commanded you to do. We know Jesus' words were powerful and that his teaching had an impact. For in John chapter 7, they send certain soldiers to take care of Jesus, to stop his teaching, ultimately to arrest him. And they get there and they're so enthralled by his message and his teaching that these men, these officers say in John 7:46, "No man ever spoke like this man." But what was it that made Jesus' speech so powerful? Number one, Jesus spoke with authority, not as the scribes and the elders. Matthew chapter 7 or Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Jesus spoke with love for those whom he's trying to reach out to, not as an authoritative scholar, but as a loving teacher. Jesus reached out to the rich young ruler in that way in Mark chapter 10. He saw the multitudes in that way in Mark chapter 9. But Jesus' motivation in his teaching, through parables, through his use of the scripture, through making it practical to life, they were enthralling because it was such a stark contrast to what people had been used to. True Bible preaching is enthralling. It is something that will make people's ears perk up and make people want to listen to the gospel, because so many messages today are a social, feel-good, health and wealth gospel. You hear people like Joel Osteen. You hear others on TV who are saying, you know, God's going to bless you if you send in a certain amount of money. And people get so fed up with that. What do people want to hear? People, like in the time of Jesus, will be enthralled with plain gospel preaching. I love the words of Mark chapter 12 and verse 37. Here's what was said of Jesus. The common people heard him gladly. Why? Jesus had just got finished preaching out of the Psalms how that David even called him Lord, showing the power of the Scripture and making it practical for their life. He didn't have a feel-good story. He didn't have a funny illustration. Jesus took the Scripture, the power of God, and made it practical for everyday life. That's what gospel preaching needs to be today. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4, verse 12. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We've got to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, Mark chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And you've got to preach the truth with the motivation of love, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. With Jesus' great teaching as a loving teacher, Jesus identifies in John chapter 8 where true freedom for people who had been enslaved throughout their history, for people who were still enslaved to sin and tradition, Jesus now identifies where freedom comes from. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What a powerful statement about real freedom. Christ has come to give us freedom. Galatians chapter 5 teaches we have liberty or freedom in Christ, not freedom from law, but freedom to choose for ourselves, to obey the will of God, and to go to heaven. Well, if there's freedom, there has to be captivity. If the truth makes us free, what are we captive to? We're captive to sin. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it, God said to Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Whoever gives himself to sin, he is a slave of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Sin is that which separates us from God, the source of true freedom. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sin is that which holds us captive to death. Ezekiel 18, 4, the soul who sins shall surely die. And sin is that which brings the hardest, most miserable life ever. The way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15 says. But in view of all that, the truth sets us free from all that captivity. Friend, there's nothing, listen carefully, there's nothing more valuable and nothing more refreshing than to know the truth, to obey it, and to know you're right with God. Where would we be without the peace that surpasses all understanding, which comes by obedience to the gospel? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Romans chapter 6, and verse 17. Where would we be without that Word of God, which breathes new life into us when we learn how to become a Christian, when we learn how to live the best life? Jesus said, "I came that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly." And ultimately, when we know that we're free from the bondage of sin and that we can live with God in heaven for all eternity, there's no greater hope and no greater joy than that. This is why Paul could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." This is why Christians have that living hope. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Why that in the midst of trials and troubles, we can have true joy even in those. Rejoice in the midst of your trials, James would say. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Paul and Barnabas or Silas are in prison in a dark, deep dungeon in Philippi. And what were they doing? Had they thrown in the towel? Had they given up? No, they had that freedom. And they had that joy. And they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And so when we think about the book of John and how it gives us that hope of eternal life, that only comes by the Word of God. We're not going to receive a message from God in the middle of the night. God's not going to speak to me, and God's not going to speak to you. God has spoken. We have that Word. Jude verse 3 tells us to contend earnestly for the faith, listen, which was once for all delivered to the saints. We have the once for all delivered faith. It's right here in the pages of the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. We have everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And friend, all we need to do is open up the Bible with a good and honest heart and make the decision, the determination. I know that God wants me to be saved. I know God wants me to go to heaven. I know the Bible is His will. I'm going to submit to it. And I'm going to do whatever God says. Friend, are you living a life free of captivity? Or are there things that you're in bondage to? Are there things that you're enslaved to? Are you enslaved to things of this world? Maybe you're enslaved to addiction. An addiction to, whether it be drugs or alcohol. Maybe you're enslaved to immoral living. You can. You can be free from that. Maybe you're enslaved to a life of sin. Maybe you know deep down that you've not been living and doing the way you ought to. Maybe you know God's not happy with that. Friend, you can break from the bonds of captivity today. You can burst forth from the prison bars knowing today that you're a child of God if only you will submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What must the person do to be free from sin? Well, Jesus said you've got to know the truth. What is the truth? Jesus said in John 17, 17 to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You first have to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once I have heard that word, I realize the Bible is the final authority. It has all the answers to all the questions about salvation. Then I must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will surely die in your sins. John chapter 8 and verse 24. But belief isn't all you have to do. There are a multitude of religious leaders and false teachers who will say that all you've got to do to be saved is believe in Jesus. Did you know the words faith only occur only one time in the Bible, and it says the exact opposite of what millions believe and teach? James 2 verse 24 says, we see that a man is justified by works, listen now, not by faith only. Faith only occurs one time, and God says the exact opposite of what millions believe. You've got to hear the word. You've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to repent of your sins. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You've got to change your will to the will of God and live your life in a way that's pleasing to Him. You must confess the name of Jesus. Paul said, with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. There is no salvation before obedience to the gospel plan of salvation, including baptism. Jesus said it. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3 verse 5. He made it so clear in Mark 16, 16. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. And Peter proclaimed, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Friend, if you're not free from sin, if you don't have that hope, we're begging you, we're pleading today with you, won't you obey the gospel and be free before it's everlastingly too late?